Welcome to another episode of This Is Silly with the Lugans, brought to you by Your Electric. Call Your Electric for all your electrical needs, industrial, residential, and all the above. This is Mitch. Brad.
Hello.
Bird.
All right.
And we're watching the women take on Columbia. By the time you hear this, it'll have been over. Hopefully we showed them who is the king of the Americas.
Or the queen, of the Americas.
Hope looks a little intense, so it might be a good day.
Half
here.
Of America can't even spell Columbia properly.
Yeah. This is true.
I mean, I'm pretty excited we're going up against Mizzou today.
Well, speaking of Missouri, we've had quite the soccer extravaganza in this state.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about today. Again, I mean,
when was the last time we had a podcast? 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's been about 3 weeks.
What game was that after? Was that Louisville? The home game?
Yeah, yes. That would have been after. That would have been after the away trip.
What was it, the Pittsburgh game? I can't remember.
I can't remember now.
All those 1-1 draws just kind of melded together.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to that too. But before we start, let's. A couple of new people have mentioned on the Facebook page and on Twitter that, you know, with this, you know, we've had another surge of attendance, both the KC game and the Cusimano piece, and we've had people coming out. Some people wanted to know a little bit of background. So if you're new to the Lugans or new-ish, there's probably some things you want to know. Start off with, you know, Mitch and I have been around forever and ever.
We're lovers.
We're life partners. Bird has been around for, was it 3 years now?
3 years, yeah.
3 years now. So sometimes I still think of Bird as new, but he's an old Lugan now too.
3 years. My first Lugan event was the start of the EPL season 3 years ago at Barristers when we all went for breakfast.
That would have been the Space Invader scarf, right?
Yes, it would have been.
Or was that the?
No, I that was the first scarf I got, and it was like a couple of months after.
Okay.
After that, but that
it might have been us just going up to Barristers just to go watch soccer.
Yeah, just have a
because we had nothing else to do.
So yeah, we started in 2010 with AC St. Louis. There were five or six or seven, depending on how you count, different supporters groups. And
we like seven for the narrative.
Yeah, and. There was no animosity. It was just different pockets of fans, and we kind of decided we should all be under one big umbrella.
And most of the time, we were working together already, so it was kind of silly to be separate.
Yeah, they were all sitting in Section 20, the opposite corner of where we are now, and I just came up with the name St. Lugans, and Mitch liked it, and so we started tossing it around, and it kind of stuck. So made T-shirts and... That's how we became the St. Lugans.
And Kyle got it tattooed on his leg.
Kyle got it tattooed on his leg, and
so then we had to stick with it.
That's right. And as the AC season wore down, some of the individual groups kind of started to fade away because the writing was on the wall. AC St. Louis was folding, so we all just kind of said, "Okay, well, we want to keep doing this. We want to keep getting together on weekends and having fun." And there's a PDL team in the St. Louis Lions, so. We put everything behind the Lions, and those who stuck around just became St. Lugans. So,
and along the way, we did the Piasa, the indoor team. We went to Fire and Ice, the women's team. That's their version of the PDL.
Yep.
On the women's side.
Bordeaux
last year.
Bordeaux was fun. I mean, it's not what we're doing now, but Bordeaux was fun. It was a team that predominantly played on the Friday nights in the MPSL.
And it was in the city, so it was easier. I mean, the Lions, their biggest drawback was they're out in Cottleville, mm-hmm. so that's a haul to get to. And I mean, but we just basically looked for reasons to get together and watch soccer and supported most of the local teams and had fun together.
And then Jeremy came calling and said, Jeremy Allenbaugh, GM of now St. Louis FC, didn't have a name at the time, said, hey, we want you guys to come out and be part of this.
We
said, screw you, I don't do what you tell me to do.
No, it's been great working with Jeremy since the beginning. St. Louis FC's done it right. They've wanted supporter interaction and basically have given us a blank check to do what we want. I mean, there's guidelines that we have to follow, but really have trusted us to build our movement and in turn get people out to support the team.
I think if you look at what happened on Tuesday, I think we've kept our side of the bargain too. And, you know, Jeremy and the club have knocked it out of the park off the field. I mean, they really have. Even after the first home game when there was bathroom lines were 10 minutes and it took 20 minutes to get a beer, that just doesn't happen now. I mean, they've made things right as they've gone along too. I mean, off the field especially, they've really hit home runs.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't say any more than that. I mean, it's really been the most ideal situation we could have. We're back where we started at Soccer Park.
Couple other things that, you know, we should probably mention just because people are new. The podcast started actually probably 2011.
Yeah, pretty much. It was right as AC St. Louis was winding down.
Yeah, and it pretty quickly switched to a Lions focus. The name of the podcast, This Is Silly, comes from our friend Kyle. Kyle used to be a co-host, and if you know Kyle, Kyle's the big guy with tattoos, the guy in charge of the Bruligans at the tailgate. Kyle's a great guy. He used to be on the podcast with us, and I don't know, we were at Brown's house one night before a Piasaw game, and Jen Brown, who y'all know Jen Brown too, she had made a ridiculous amount of food.
We're talking like buffet.
Like, yeah, she said, well, we'll have snacks before the game or whatever. And we were thinking, you know, she'll have a bag of pretzels or whatever. And, I mean, it was like, for six men, it was like
20 pounds of food.
Yeah. And Kyle was just stuffing himself and at one point looked up and just said, this is silly. And I don't know, it just made us all laugh. And
then it continued on into the game.
Yeah, everything was,
I saw game
this is silly.
This is silly. And
so that's why the podcast is called This Is Silly.
But it also keeps to our nature, too, of not really taking a lot of this stuff too seriously. That, you know, banter is banter, and it's just a game, but at the same time, for 90 minutes, it's on.
Right. A couple other things people have asked about. Chupacabras. A lot of you know the story by now, but when we first started hearing rumors of a pro team, and this was, Bird was on the podcast with us by then, Kyle retired from the podcast because he started a new business.
Which is unbelievably successful.
Yeah, Washington Tattoo Collective. If you need a tattoo, go see Kyle. Also, Steve Rusnak was also on the podcast early on, but he left to do other things because he was looking for white walls and such. That's another inside joke. Don't worry about it. But Chupacabras, when we first started hearing rumors of a pro team coming to town, we treated them as a mythical creature sighting. And so,
you know, you just never know if it was going to show up or not.
Yeah, and we didn't believe it because we'd heard it before. So we'd say, yeah, yeah, somebody saw a chupacabra. And lo and behold,
and every time there was a rumor, oh, a chupacabra sighting.
And but the funny thing was is the people actually thought they were going to name the team that. And would were like, they're going to call them what?
Yeah.
You know, people started taking it seriously. And we're like, no, no, it's just
to be
joke.
Fair, it's no less silly a name than Saints. Calling the team the St. Louis Saints.
Well, like, I don't know. It was just funny because Jeremy actually said, yeah, I've had to answer X number of emails this week. Are we naming the team the Chupacabras? So that's why in our songs we talk about the fighting chupacabras and we've got a chupacabra and he's going to get you. Another thing people have asked about on the old Space Invader scarf, it says PWICB.
People, yeah. And on our drums as well.
And on our drums. And people want to know what that means. That stands for Party With Ice Cold Beers. That came from our good friend Rocco, and that's pretty much his life motto.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Not anymore.
But Party With Ice Cold Beers is PWICB.
Talking to Rocco, I saw him at Urban Chestnut on Saturday night. And I was, you know, congratulations, Rocco, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, yeah. It's all gone full circle now, like looking for a house and stuff. Like, pardon?
Rocco's growing up.
And I was like, well, you know. You know, he's settling down. He's like, oh, yeah, we're trying for kids.
Oh,
what?
Whoa, stop.
What? Rock, what did you do with you?
I just got accustomed to him being engaged. I don't know if I'm ready for Rocco to be a father.
No, I'm not. Aren't there laws in this country about...
I am just quoting what the man said.
Okay, let's move on. Let's move on.
Okay, is there anything else you guys can think of that maybe we talk about as an inside joke?
Who the hell are you?
Oh, who the hell are you? Yeah.
This is a new favorite.
Yeah, that's come up, starting with, I guess, was it the women's game?
It was the women's game.
Brad, I'm Brad. That's who the hell I am. I do a lot of stuff behind the scenes. I do, like, the Twitter page and the Facebook page. And
a lot of the designing.
Have designed a lot of the scarves and stuff.
The Tifo Man.
Because
no one else can draw with it.
Nobody else does it. That's the problem.
So, I mean, I do a lot of stuff. And I've been asked several times when I say something to somebody like, hey, who's sitting here? Can we move over? who the hell are you? You know, or, hey, that's a nice scarf. And they're like, who the hell are you? You know, I made the scarf. I designed the scarf. That's who the hell I am. you know, why do you get to sit there? Because I was here before any of you fuckers.
I am the law.
But no, it's good. It's a good problem to have that nobody knows who the hell I am. So,
although, if I'm a, you know, Joe Blow new guy,
yeah.
If somebody says who the hell are you, I'm gonna be like, I'm Brad.
Yeah, please
see
do.
What I can
yeah.
get out of it.
Please do.
Can I get some free shit out of this?
No, you won't. You won't get anything for being Brad. I get a lot of, hey, do you know who Bird is or do you know who Mitch is? Yeah, I know those guys.
Just but, a little bit.
But see, I'm just Brad.
I'm here because people have the assumption that English guys know what the hell they're talking about when it comes to this game. And I am clueless. I like rugby.
There you go. Okay, so that's sort of the backstory. Just wanted to do a few minutes of that.
If you are one of the new people, though, and this is definitely worth saying, A, introduce yourself several times because we're going to forget because there's a lot of new people and we will forget your names. And it's nothing personal. There's yeah. usually alcohol involved.
It's hard to remember people's names when you're inebriated.
Yes.
And I do feel terrible, but I know a lot of you by face, but I couldn't name you. but that's my problem, not your problem.
And the second part is that especially if you're listening, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you rate us on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever the rating system is that you're using to listen to this.
And if you're new, introduce yourself because we'll try and give you a shout out on the podcast and say, hey, Spencer Hippler's in the group, you know, or you know, or Jeff Aiken, or you know, just
speaking of which, Eric came up at the last tailgate. Mitch, you weren't there, and Bird, you were already doing the radio thing, and he was effusive in his praise about the podcast. He not only listens to the podcast, he listens to it once on his ride to work and once on his ride home so he can catch things he missed. I mean, that's the first person I know that listens to us twice.
So he's special needs? Is that what
no, he was just really thankful for what we do, and he really wanted to meet both of you guys. And I said, well, no, but maybe I can find Brad. Would that do any good? He said, no, I don't really want to meet Brad. I'd like to meet Bird and Mitch. So
this Bird signing autographs, I still think we need to start trotting him out.
I think we could set up a little card table at tailgates.
I'm thinking we're
make
not too
some
far
money.
Off.
Wife doesn't even trust me with a checkbook.
We're not going to let you touch the money.
This
don't get me wrong.
A way for you to make a little extra pocket money.
Yeah, no, we're definitely keeping the money away from you.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll just give you out a dole.
So that's some of the basics for the history. If you have any more questions or if something else we say doesn't make sense, and please ask, and we will try to clear that up. But hopefully that's some of the big ones that people were asking about.
Went to Soccer Master today to get my shirt customized, and the guy behind the counter said, hey, you're Bird. I saw you at KC. I can't remember, dude. Can't remember.
Wait. What are you getting it customized with?
Yeah, whose name and number?
Not going to tell you. But I will tell you that
he's getting Maurice 7 on it.
I will tell you that Stephen Berra was just in there before me because his name was on the list above mine.
Really?
And he's getting Berra 18 on an away shirt.
Is
so
he?
But I'm not telling you what I'm doing.
Did they have anything in stock at the store?
They did, actually. They on a mannequin, they got a shirt and a scarf at the front of the store. I saw that. But, yeah.
That'd be nice.
I think if they made a jersey that I liked, I would get Moose's name and number on it because he's a hard son of a bitch and I like him.
We like our defenders.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Or Fink or Duty. I like all the defenders. The defenders are my favorites.
I think if I was to get one of the guys that came down from Chicago, I'd probably get a Chicago shirt with their name and number on the back, you know, in a later date. Or if they go on to bigger, better things.
I hope to one day buy a Duty MLS jersey or a Mark Pace MLS jersey. That'd be nice.
To be fair, we like the defenders because we don't have a lot of scoring either. So
yep, we'll get there. let's bowl through some more topics before we do though. I wanted to do a merchandise update. The old T-shirt, the navy.
Show up, make fun, have noise.
That T-shirt. All we have left are sizes double XL. And we are planning on phasing that shirt out, so...
Why are we phasing that shirt out, Brad?
Because we've got a new T-shirt coming out. This time around, we're going to get a green T-shirt.
Yay!
So, you know, hopefully, like, in the future, we can have, like, blue days or green days to get the whole section kind of...
Green out.
Green outs or blue outs or whatever you want to do. The new t-shirt will have the newer of the two St. Luligan logos, kind of like the one that's on our Facebook page now as our icon.
I refer to it as the skate logo.
Yeah, it
kind of has a skateboard feel to it.
Yeah, it was borrowed.
I know.
From a couple of different brands.
I was trying to be generous.
Thank
here.
You. Don't sue. But it'll have that logo on the front. And on the back, Ryan Malachak from Adrenaline Prince is working up something special. I don't want to give it away yet, but it should be a cool shirt and be something new for you guys to buy. So, new t-shirt coming out. We have new stickers coming. Not quite ready yet, but we're out of the original Skull and Bone sticker, so we're going to get a new sticker. Plenty of scarves still.
And a lot of people don't know that we got the Cafe Press store.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Go to our website, because at the top there's a link for the swag store, and it'll take you straight to Cafe Press, and you know there's a bunch of stuff that they
toddler
make.
Toddler stuff, and yeah. Women specific.
Kids, yeah.
Flasks.
And the Cafe Press store was, it's made for like maybe ideas that we have or designs that we like, but we don't have enough demand to do
a bulk
100 of them, you know, so... I mean, things like the Social Luligan is popular. A lot of people buy that one. You know, just different things. And there's women-specific cuts for women who don't necessarily like the boxy male unisex t-shirts that we sell. You can do that. Something else new that is very cool, craft coolers.
Oh, yeah. They are tremendous.
I'm still waiting for mine. I'm dying here.
If you haven't seen them, Craft Coolers and St. Louis FC gave us a big cooler with our logo on it.
The big cooler. And the big cooler is by far the coolest one,
yeah,
pun intended.
It's a stainless steel, you know, Coleman old
retro
school
style.
Retros cooler. You can get that. You can get the tiny one like I have, the little personal.
That's,
you know,
the one I got as well.
You can get that one. And they also have a few plastic rolling coolers. Those are available on Amazon. So just go to Amazon and Google Luligan.
Something else comes up if you do that, though.
Yes, you can also get our Ultras shirt on Amazon, too, or you can go straight to ultras.com to get that, too. So if you're looking for the green jersey that you see some of the guys wearing with, like, the navy sash on it, you can get that at Amazon or Ultras. Other things to talk about, Brewligans. People like our beer. Mentioned earlier, Kyle Scarborough does the labels for Second Shift Brewing, and they made a special beer just for us. It's a light alcohol IPA. So
it's delicious.
It's delicious, and you can get that at all your fine beer sellers in town that sell Second Shift Brewing beers.
And it looks like they've been actually stocking it, too. It's not just a light, small run of it.
Yeah, it started out as a special run, but it's got enough love, not just from soccer fans, but from beer fans, that they're going to keep making it. So look for that at your local beer seller. And the last thing I want to talk about is Tomahawk Shades. Group reached out to us on Twitter. They sponsor Breck Shea. I think they sponsor Brian Gall. I'm not positive on that one. But they make sunglasses, custom sunglasses, and they're talking to us about maybe making a pair of Luligan sunglasses. So, you know, we may be having some of those at our tailgate party soon.
I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Wayfarer style. I mean, look like Ray-Bans kind of, but they have funky colors and funky lens colors.
And they'll be Luliganized.
They'll be Luliganized. They'll have our logo on it somehow. And it'll probably be like either blue frames with green lenses or green frames with blue lenses. It'll be St. Louis FC colors somehow. So keep an eye out for that. They're inexpensive, but they're really cool. And
they're well high V or UV rated. Is high on it.
Yeah,
they're not polarized. They're the UV rating, which is what you want.
People seem to like them, and like I said, they're not too expensive. So if you have a drunken mishap at a tailgate,
hello,
you won't feel like you've ruined your really expensive sunglasses. So
I recommend buying two pairs.
Yeah, buy
for
two
when that
pairs.
Happens.
Buy a backup pair. So I don't know. So that's the merchandise update. The old blue t-shirts. If you're a double XL, get them quick. Otherwise, they're pretty much all gone. Not to say we won't do another run in the future, but as of right now, we're not planning on it. Okay, I got one more page of note cards to talk about before we get to have our discussion about all the fun stuff. Charity events. First of all, huge, huge shout out to Jennifer Brown and her team that did the Luligans for a Cure. the Komen Race for the Cure.
For a cure.
We're not allowed to say for the cure. That team raised $1,600.
Holy shit.
Which is amazing. They set a high goal. They set a goal of $1,500.
They blew that up, and they got it.
In large part, thanks to Brandon Barklage for donating his jersey to Matt Bird and had the whole team sign it, and we sold raffle tickets, so that went well.
Great.
The next thing I want to talk about is our friend Taka, Quintero Takata, has teamed up with Nothing But Nets. It's a group that raises money to buy
mosquito nets
to help prevent malaria. The team is going to do something, but we are also probably going to have a raffle this next tailgate. We're trying to put together a little package where it'll be like a dollar a chance and just a way to raise some money for Taka for his thing and a way for you to win some cool Luligan swag. July 7th will be a trivia night for St. Louis FC.
It's going to be soccer-related.
Soccer-related trivia. We don't have details on costing yet, but please pencil in July 7th. We want to get at least a couple tables of Luligans, and that will also be the next podcast. Mitch Bird and I will be on hand. And we will interview players. We will interview fans. It'll be a whole night of just interviewing guests.
Celebration, yes. Bitches.
So if you want to be on the podcast, you better sign up for the trivia.
Yeah, well, you know what? If they want to be on the podcast, they better make sure they're making donations.
That's true.
That's going to be what it is.
And finally, I want to mention next Sunday, there's a foot golf tournament for St. Louis FC. If you don't know about this, it's like golf, but you kick a soccer ball instead of hitting a little golf ball with a club. And go to the St. Louis FC website for more information on that.
As opposed to hitting a large golf ball?
Yeah, exactly. Well, people had a lot of fun that did it last time. I think it's $190 for a team of four, so get a couple buddies together, or, you know, there's a couple people looking to put together a team. Get together with those guys and have fun, and I'm sure there's a charitable component to that too, but I don't know who.
There's
the
not a lot of spaces left.
No, but there are still room for a few teams. So,
is it like a pro-am? Can you have like two you amateurs and two pros? Or?
If you can find a foot golf pro, sure. But I know there are going to be players there. There's going to be obviously staff members. There's going to be sponsors there. So, a good way if you want to meet some of the players and have a chat that you might not get to have after the game. Might be a good chance to, rub shoulders with the who's who of St. Louis FC. So,
the way we're getting injured right now, players.
Yeah.
Well, they might be driving the golf carts.
No. As a Blues fan, I remember Eric Johnson and golf carts. No, we're not having any of that.
Yeah, let's not take a chance. Okay, so now let's talk about the most recent events. Let's start with Tuesday
because it was everything and then some. And I'm gonna start by saying 3 years ago when I moved here and started in with the Luligans, I used to make cracks at the Timbers Army, and I used to make jokes at Portland Timbers, and because there was a lot of people here that kind of liked what they were doing, mm-hmm. and I didn't enunciate it very well in what I was trying to get at, but you just because you live here and you like what they're doing doesn't mean you have to support them, because what we do is no different, and Tuesday proves it. And Tuesday proved that we are everything and then some.
Well, and I think, maybe not to counter your argument, but to talk about it, AC St. Louis that year, Portland Timbers was in our league.
Yep.
So the Timbers Army wasn't what it is now. Timbers Army was, it was bigger than what we have now, but they'd been around since the 70s.
Yeah.
So when we saw them make that jump from that level to the MLS, and we saw how quickly they grew, just like this year, we've grown huge,
mm-hmm. proportionally,
moving from PDL to USL. I think a lot of St. Louis fans saw that could happen if we moved up. But Tuesday, being who we are, I think we brought...
Rocked the house.
We bought plenty, yeah.
Rocked the house. And I got back on the bus in my little drunken self, and I said to Mark Gardner...
Wait, you were drunk?
That is football. And that was football.
So let's go ahead and back up. The team did their best to get us as many tickets as they could.
We had 100 tickets.
Which, is not on the team, not on us.
No, Jeremy tried to get much more.
And Kansas City was having none of that. And now in hindsight, rightfully so.
Yeah, they sold out. Fair play to them.
You know, they could sell
the
tickets.
But we probably had another 100 or more
who bought tickets
fans
themselves.
Spread out through the stadium.
Correct.
So, I mean, we could have had a section of 300.
Absolutely.
And so, imagine how loud we would have been then.
So we all get to go up on buses that the team arranged for. Quality buses.
Nice buses.
With a bathroom.
Wow.
Big help there. And the ride-up was great. We were all pumped. We were ready to go. We show up at the...
Bird ditched us. He went on our bus for the first half and then switched to the other bus for the second half.
I saw
half.
What Rub Festy was drinking. I'm like, I'm having some.
It's okay. My parents are chill.
Yeah. We had a really good time on the bus, met some new people. Bird got to experience both buses. Him and Petrillo switched halfway.
Bastards.
But it was good because Petrillo got good pictures of both buses that way.
Exactly. And we get up there, and the Cauldron had their tailgate going, and I don't think they were prepared for us with the alcohol that they had on hand.
No, I mean, the plan was $5 donation, all you can drink, and, I mean...
100 of us showed up. And
yeah, I got one beer out of
the
keg.
I got one beer.
Which, I mean, it's cool. I'm not blaming them, and I don't feel bad about giving $5.
No.
Not at all.
I actually gave them 10 because I did actually appreciate what they were doing.
Yeah,
yes.
and we were kind of obnoxious. I mean, we showed up chanting, and some of their fans... You know, didn't like it, and we didn't mean it to be dicks. We were just having fun because it was our big day out.
It was our cup final, yeah.
And but most of the Cauldron fans were great. You know, got along with a lot of them. I know I saw a lot of us trading scarves. You know, on the bus ride home, there were a lot of Cauldron scarves. So I think everybody had a good time. I don't think there was any problems whatsoever. You know, other than a couple people were butthurt that we were loud.
But get over it.
Yeah.
So we marched to the stadium.
That's football. I'm sorry.
Yep.
What do you expect?
Yeah.
We marched to the stadium. We keep the ruckus going the whole march in, which, again, proud of our drums keeping the beat going the whole way. Those guys put in such the yeoman's work every day. I mean, every game.
How awesome was it, though, the way we went into that stadium? I mean, that stadium's a nice stadium, and we didn't look out of place. Not one bit.
Well, I mean,
and it was much like the first time we went to Louisville, the first game. I mean, the looks on people's faces were like, oh, you know, it's not just a quiet group of fans that have come. These guys are serious. I mean,
they're here to play.
Yeah.
We get led to our seats. Seats are in the corner, which they're a good location to watch the game. They actually were a decent angle to see.
It was weird trying to funnel us all into, you know, that
a wedge.
That section. I mean, I don't know. It worked out. Everybody kind of squeezed in. You know, when I saw pictures later, I saw, oh, well, there were four more seats down. You know, we could have moved down a little bit, you know, but people were spread out.
Everybody kept moving around, too.
So it was fun, though.
The amusing thing was there was about 10 to 15 KC people in our section.
Why the hell did they sell those tickets?
I was seriously upset by that because that could have been 15 seats we could have used.
Yeah.
And I think they
realized... It proved KC was being dicks.
Yeah, pretty much.
They should have at least given us those two sections, 123 and 124, which part of 123 was the players' families and the friends of the club.
We saw Coach Dale's dad there. It was very obvious who dad was.
Yeah. But they could have given us that whole section, and about halfway through that first half,
it wasn't even halfway through.
Yeah,
it was about 7 minutes.
That group
in.
Of fans left because I mean the drums and the singing was overwhelming. I mean,
I love what Dave Colbert said. It was all game. We're gonna do this all.
Yeah,
game.
The people right in front of the drums. I mean,
and he's giving Dave the stink eye, and Dave's like, all game.
Yeah,
game.
We're not just here to play the opening few minutes. We're going all game.
And again, credit to those guys. The entire game, they didn't let up on the drums, like we do every home game. I mean, this is not something new.
No.
This is what we do, and they kept it going. And other people that aren't part of our group. Other St. Louis fans, Kansas City fans, that's one of the first things they kept saying is that the drums and the chanting went all game long. Even after they scored, right back into it.
And one of the things that I liked were the comments about our chants weren't just the same chants you hear at every game. I mean, yes, we do have some of those that you'll hear at every soccer game.
Yeah.
But we do have some original ones, and those are always my favorites. And, you know, we're trying to do something a little different than your average supporters group. So
I mean, it takes time. You can't. The original ones will take time.
Right. You can't make up a brand new songbook overnight.
And they come and go. And I go back to that Brian Gall one. I think that'll stick around. But, you know, I mean, when you don't have any players, you know, 6 months ago, it's hard to get a feel of original songs.
If you don't know, if you weren't there, Petrillo put together a really good compilation piece with some of the chants and from him at different angles around the stadium, because he had the photographer credentials, so he could go basically wherever. So look that up on YouTube, or you can find it on our Facebook page or on our Twitter. Just to give you an idea of how loud we were. I don't know. I think we acquitted ourselves very well. The team was amazed. I mean, it was funny because, you know, Pat Barry and Tom Strunk were tweeting throughout the game. I mean, Pat Barry, the executive director, Tom Strunk, one of the owners. I guess his title is officially
CFO.
Yeah. You know, they were tweeting throughout the game about how loud we were. They were sitting across the field in kind of the boxes. You know, Jeremy said after the game he went to a thing, and, you know, some of the Kansas City people were upset that we had showed them up a little bit, you know.
It's football.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy was kind of laughing about it and like, well, you know, that's what we're here for, you know. And, I mean, the Cauldron, again, they did their thing, but this wasn't as big a game for them.
I understand that. And totally.
And I'm not saying we're better than the Cauldron, but I think on that day we acquitted ourselves quite well.
We showed up.
Yeah,
and we didn't lay down.
And if we did this every year, if St. Louis got an MLS club tomorrow and we did this every year, we wouldn't do that every year. The novelty would soon wear off.
But, you know, I will say the people that were there and were amazed at the atmosphere that we had there, we were dialed up to 10. I mean, we were all, you know, in the moment. But our home games, we do the same thing. We make that noise. And so people who went to Kansas City, if they come out to a home game, which I hope they do, they'll realize, no, it's the same thing. It's the same party every week. I mean, it's not in front of 20,000 people. It's not, you know.
But it's the same. We do the same thing
right.
Because we're doing it for our guys, and our guys are still out there.
Right.
And, you know, and it's what we do.
But it was nice that our players have mentioned, you know, that they heard us on the field because they were playing in front of a 20,000 crowd that's the biggest crowd most of them have ever played for.
And it's hostile towards them.
And it's hostile, but they felt our support. They felt the love. Cram Soucy obviously heard us because he shushed us after he scored his goal.
Yeah, he wasn't shushing last night. It was RSL scored in the last minute.
But, you know what I mean? Fair play to us. Yes, we did park the bus. We played Jose Mourinho style.
But we're not. What
What other choice
what are we
did
going
we
to
have?
Do? We don't have a Cram Soucy up front.
It wasn't a secret. Dale told me before the Harrisburg game that's how he was going
to
approach
it. Well, everybody, that's how you have to play that game. And we
play
held
defensive and nick it on a counter.
We held until the 70th minute.
And we had a few good opportunities before then. Let's not, you know.
We had our chances.
There were a couple bad passes, a couple bad decisions.
But we knew all along it was going to take a lucky break, a fluky goal, or, you know, just a moment of brilliance. Mm-hmm. But we knew we were going to have to hold on for dear life on the back end. I think we did. We played almost as well as we could. We didn't score a goal, but they didn't score three, you know.
We weren't embarrassed.
And they weren't running out a B team either.
No.
Not at all.
I think from what I gleaned, there was only one starter that wasn't in the lineup.
So, I mean, no, I'm happy with the way the boys played. I'm happy, overly happy with how the fans acquitted themselves there.
And it wasn't just Luligans. I mean, it was all the St. Louis fans. I mean, the parents, the families, the friends that were with us, they were just as much into it as we were. I mean,
people around the stadium who posted videos. I'm in section 101. This is what you guys look like from here. Or I'm in 113 and you guys are loud, you know. I mean, everybody was pretty much on board with that. So that was awesome.
What I will say, and I want to reiterate what you said about the cauldron being awesome. It was really nice of them to say, come out and drink with us before the game. I mean, that's how
that's
it
what,
should be.
That's what supporters should do.
And also, you know, the Louisville guys, they went up to Chicago, and there was only 3,000 Chicago fans. I mean, it would have been no use had we gone up there and did what we did to an empty house.
Oh, yeah. Kansas City fans were great. That was that was the largest crowd ever for a fourth-round U.S. Open game.
And the fact that it was a full stadium just...
And it was more than they had when they won the U.S. Open Cup a couple years ago. Uh-huh. So,
and well, that was the one thing that the security people said. The security lead, the section liaisons, and the head of security that stopped by, that we were the largest supporters group to ever show up in their stadium by far and miles ahead of everybody else in the loudness.
It's
a location thing, don't get me wrong, but we made the showing. We did what we were supposed to do.
But had Tom and Jim not put on the buses for us,
it would have been harder.
You know,
it would have been harder.
And it's a feather in their cap to have 300 people show up as they did, and we have to thank them for that.
Oh,
profusely.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. They made the trip. One of the great moments was after the game, security waits for everybody else to clear out before they let us out. And that's good security procedures. I understand it.
Yeah, just in case there was a problem, or just so, which there wasn't, but that's the policy.
Kansas City Jesus came over, and if anybody's familiar with the cauldron, he's kind of in the middle. He's in the full Jesus outfit, and quite animated, and he fantastic performer when it comes down to the cauldron. Comes over, and he just gave me one of the biggest hugs and was just like, you guys were incredible. And he's over in the cauldron, and he could see and hear us. And he had nothing but, he said, you know, so many of us had nothing but good things to say. And, you know, and likewise, I gave
on
it
the
back.
On the way out, everybody was complimentary. I mean, there was, everybody was cool.
Yeah, I mean.
Now, if we'd have won, they might have been pissed.
Well, that would mean we'd have to score a goal.
Yeah. But it also goes back to when we go to Louisville. Yeah, we give a lot of shit to Louisville on Twitter, and then they give it back.
Mm-hmm.
But 90% of the people we meet, we really like.
Yeah.
You know, we got together.
Speak for yourself.
Not all of them. But we get together before the game and have beers. We get together after the game and have beers. It's, you know.
We've got a couple assholes.
They've got a
couple dozen.
But no, I mean, it was a great day. The team was thrilled with how we performed. You know, I think St. Louis in general should be proud of the way we represented ourselves there. And, you know, I'm not saying we deserve MLS. I don't want to go that far, but it does look good when the MLS sees St. Louis brought a good group of fans to Kansas City and made a good showing.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that if you're the New York Red Bulls, too, and you see that on Tuesday and you know, oh, shit, I have to play there in 2 weeks. I mean, it helps spread the reputation.
New York Red Bulls have got a player called Derek Etienne, and he's currently playing to an empty house every other game. If he sees us and goes, he's not, oh, shit, we got to play them. He's like, why don't next year I just go play for them?
Well, and I...
you know, and that's the kind of atmosphere we're hoping to generate where players actually go, I want to be part of that. Sacramento have got it, where people want to go play in Sacramento.
I say that every week to people. You know, we're not just cheering for our fans. We're not just, you know, putting on a show for the fun of it, which it all is fun and it all is for our team. But we do want that good player for Colorado.
Yeah.
That he's like, Jesus, I wish our fans were like this.
Yeah.
And then the year his contract's up, and he's trying to decide between re-signing with Colorado or signing with St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
we want that to be a factor in his decision.
Yeah, it's the one that's going to swing him off the fence.
Right, so let's keep that up, and we'll hopefully poach the best players from around the league.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah,
I am too.
You know, I mean, there was, and I said this to Dale, that there was something about how awesome it was just to walk in that stadium. I mean... Everyone knows my feelings about MLS, but it was a little eye-opening for me. Going to watch my team in that stadium was
it's a cathedral moment. Yeah. It really is.
Well, and I don't know if it was Mitch or Bert or who I was telling this. It's like, I've been wanting to go to Sporting Kansas City to see a game. But I'm not a Sporting Kansas City fan.
Correct.
So I'm thinking, well, maybe when Houston comes into town, I'll go see Houston or a U.S. national team game or something. I'm looking for a reason to go there. Going to see my team there was the best possible way to experience that stadium.
There is no doubt.
Of course, I didn't leave our section. I was there. I was, I was glued to it. I wasn't going to wander around and look at.
And that was the thing when I went and saw Chicago Fire play them a couple of weeks ago. It was really cool to go see.
Yeah.
But I had no horse in the race. I didn't care. So I did walk around, and I'm like, oh, there's the stand, and there's this, and oh, look, across the way is Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Right.
And it was everything else with the game. This, there was nothing but the game and the energy and just the aura of what everything was going on around us. Suddenly it made a little bit more sense. And maybe it's a small town mentality, but until it matters to you, you can't really understand it.
Yep. So, all in all, everybody have a good time at Kansas City?
I had a blast. Absolutely had a blast.
Yeah, I mean, it was the best of all possible worlds.
And as you say, it was our cup final, and we took it for what it was. I mean, but, you know, when we had that press conference with Tim Holt last April, and he started mentioning the U.S. Open Cup, our kind of eyes lit up at the possibility of what it could become, and it was that and everything.
I mean, and as somebody would have said back then, you guys are going to play Sporting KC in the fourth round, we would have been like, fantastic.
Yeah, bring it.
We couldn't, and here it was, it happened. It couldn't have been a better experience.
Well, and it was a combination of things. Not only the team stepping up and helping us pay for the buses, but it's also the fact that it was Kansas City. Made it an easy trip. I mean, if it would have been, I don't know, somebody farther away, then it makes it less possible for people to make that trip. I mean, luckily we did it one day and back, and so it made it more economical. Everything was perfect to create that moment, and we took advantage of that moment, and I don't know, had a great time.
Still didn't score, though.
Still didn't score. Let's get to that.
That seems to be a recurring theme.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get to that.
Before we do,
okay,
real quick, this Saturday there is a game coming up against New York Red Bull 2.
Sugar-free Red Bull.
Dead Bull?
Yes.
Pink cows.
And today I was lucky enough to win two tickets to the game.
Wait a minute. You don't need tickets. You already have tickets.
I know this. That's where I'm headed.
Oh, okay.
And with those two tickets gains you entry into the Madrinas pre-party, which will be catered by Mission Taco.
Mm.
5:30, all the Madrinas cocktails you can drink.
Mm.
Mission Taco. And you get two tickets to the game. Obviously, as a season ticket holder, I don't need the ticket.
What are we going
to
do with them?
We're going to give them away.
Give them away.
However, you can't just say, you can't be Eric Von Nita who listens first thing in the morning and answers right away. Here is the catch. From Madrinas, we want you to bring a new person with you. It could be an existing season ticket holder. It could be somebody that can't afford season tickets and goes when they can. You have to bring a new person to claim these tickets.
Brand new.
Brand new person. And know, your wife, she might be a soccer fan. Your mom, your dad, to get the free
bring
tickets.
A friend, a coworker who you've talked about trying to get out to the game but haven't done
a
so yet.
A legitimate option of somebody that would like to show up. Here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow at noon, going to say on Facebook or Twitter, we will ask a question. It will either relate to the podcast or the trip to Tuesday to Kansas City. Answer it. First one right, you get hooked up.
Well, there you go.
Thank you to our friends at Madrinas.
Yeah,
for this.
Been superb.
And we also, in discussing this with them, they did point out that we are playing an energy drink team. So we're making sure it's a Madrinas kind of day against Red Bull.
That's right.
So have your Madrinas in the morning before we take on Red Bull. Red Bull gives you wings. Madrinas gives you goals.
So Tuesday at noon, we will post a question. First person to answer that question will get two tickets as long as they bring a new person with that other ticket.
And if you don't bring a new person with that other ticket, we'll have to come up with a good penalty.
Okay. So there we go. Now, my note says in large capital letters with 3 exclamation point, draws are not good enough.
No, really not.
And then you add in the loss last weekend. Definitely not good enough.
When I looked at the schedule at the beginning of the season, as we were kicking this off, I looked at the games from the Pittsburgh onwards. We're playing Harrisburg, Colorado, New York Red Bull, FC Montreal. We were playing Charlotte in this run, and they were all sucking.
Yep.
And you made the quip last week. When did Colorado suddenly get good? And I was like, just in time to play us. Same with Harrisburg. Same with Charlotte. You know, same New York last week won a game.
Yep. We're a couple spots out of playoff contention right now, and the four teams that are above us, New York Red Bulls 2, Riverhounds, Islanders, and Charlotte.
I think we are a better team than all four of those.
We should be.
I got to say we're not.
Well, the table doesn't lie.
The table doesn't lie.
You know, defensively, we're doing okay. I think
the defense has kept us in every game. We've got quality goalkeeping. We've got quality defenders. And Dale's had to shuffle that defensive
absolutely
line.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, he had no extra defenders.
So we can say injuries and we can say, you know, fixture congestion. But he's shuffled the back line and they've maintained. You know, only giving up one goal here or there. I mean, Louisville game was a little different, but there was a monsoon on. But for the most part, we're giving away one goal.
Correct.
But we're not scoring more than one goal.
And
we're not scoring one goal a lot of days.
We have, and at the beginning of the season, these teams had no chemistry, but we had no chemistry either. They've got it now. They've gelled. They've got together, and they're playing well. And the teams that we're losing ground to are scoring goals, and we are struggling, and I don't know why.
For a while there, we were chasing Louisville, and we were all focused on Louisville. Mm-hmm. Got news for you folks.
They're gone.
We're not catching Louisville. Louisville they're running into a little bit of trouble right now.
They're 6 points ahead.
But they've built up enough space where they can afford to have a little trouble.
You know, we've got a game in hand, but a game in hand does you no good when you're not winning.
Right. And we gave up an opportunity to make up difference Saturday.
Did we?
So we've Friday. Got, I mean, yeah. We needed to win against the Islanders. We needed to win against, you know,
Pittsburgh. And we needed a win against Colorado. I mean, I think we're a better team than the table shows. But they're going to have to start.
But see, I don't think we are right now because we're not scoring.
It's goals.
We are defensively. I think our goalies are the best 1-2 goalies in the entire league. There is no question whatsoever.
And I've got no problem with our defenders. I mean, Moose is out, and I thought that was really going to hurt us.
Barklage was out.
Barklage.
We
lost duty to a call-up.
Dixon,
you know, he's big, or Bibbs has just come back, which he had a great first half the other night. But we've been fine defensively, even with all those interchangeable parts. There's nothing up front.
And I seriously don't know why. I mean, I credit Dale to a degree for changing it around in the last game and trying to make something work. But the best football we played all year was away at Oklahoma City. And we had Ambo in the hole behind Gall and Hardware. But on Friday, we had Ambo ahead of Gall. And I don't understand why we kind of just aren't reverting back to mean and just doing what we know. And I think Ambo played in the hole behind Gall and Lynch against Louisville, and we got a 3-3 out of it. I'd follow Dale off a cliff, but sometimes I just, you know, I stop and think and go, why is Gall dropping back behind Ambo. I mean,
I still think Dale's trying to find the magic combination that works. And like you said, I kind of liked Ambo behind. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Brown and I were talking about this. The thing that was so great about Ambersley when he was with AC St. Louis and then when he followed to the Rowdies and where he's gone, he used to be that guy kind of like Wondolowski. Now, stay with me because they're not the same physical type at all.
Yeah.
But they would find that space and they would be in the right space to poach that goal. He hasn't had those this year. He's not finding those spaces. So I think you're right. I think bring him back. Let him use his vision. Let him use his, you know, passing ability.
And he anticipates better than a lot of people. I
will say this. One thing I've noticed, as I sit in the grill and I'm talking to Jim and Zach, the players come out right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a big height disadvantage. I mean, you've got Brian and Brandon and Jameel. They're not tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I looked at Harrisburg, and I looked at Colorado when they went out, and they are big boys. And the only reason I could see to have Gall drop back was a height thing. And I don't know. I'm just we don't have a lot of height in the midfield, and
we don't have a lot of height.
You know, I mean,
period.
And I can say this about all of our strikers, all the guys that play up front, with maybe the exception of Hardware, because Hardware's been battling an injury, and he mm-hmm. hasn't. To me, Lynch has been the most effective as far as making something happen.
Yeah.
He seems to be able to create. But there's just not that confidence in a striker that you want. Gall doesn't seem confident. You know, Ambersley doesn't seem confident. Like,
Part of it's the snake bit thing.
I think it's built up now.
Yeah, the pressure's getting to
So,
them.
I mean, you mentioned it the other day. If we did have one game where we just got off, you know, scored three goals or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it might reverse it. But right now, we need to do something to break this voodoo.
And as I say, credit to Dale to a degree for playing Kelly and Roberts in the last game. But
they didn't really show anything either. I mean, they had moments. Everybody's had moments where you see it, but, you know, I don't know.
It's just not that finished.
It's also difficult to bring in guys – new guys to and expect them to gel immediately. I mean, you know, they just weren't on the same page, but, you know, it's
and it would be different if it was one of the guys not gelling well with the other two,
but it's all three and four,
and that's why I think Dale's looking for that combination that mm-hmm. works, and he's shuffling them around, and sometimes, I mean, God knows I shouldn't be second guessing Dale because I don't know anything about soccer, but sometimes it's almost like, look, just stick them there and ride it. You know what I mean? If your guy's going through a slump, sometimes you got to ride through it. You know, if you've decided, look, Lynch is my number one striker, keep sticking him up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, a striker has to go through that. And if you keep moving him around, you know, you kind of confuse him a little more. You know, I don't know.
Well, and that was the slight that we'd been concerned about Gall at the beginning, was that the Galaxy had moved him around.
Right.
And we were concerned.
And I knew it was going to take time for him to make the mental switch back to striker, but now he's a central mid, or maybe he's a striker this week and he's a central mid, and we're going to move you out to the wing this game. I don't know. It'd be interesting to ask those guys what they think. Of course, they're not going to say anything against their coach. I mean,
they're just going to say we've got to work harder. Or something,
yeah,
you know?
But I mean, I wonder if inside they're feeling, you know, I wish I was here. And I mean, sometimes the player's not right. Sometimes, you know, a coach is more objective than the player.
I think the players are happy. I think the players are busting their balls.
But you know, they have to know the same thing. It's goals.
It's just.
That's what we're lacking. We're just lacking goals.
And the thing is, too, is that the buildup is there. You know, our backline transitions out well. You know,
we get the ball up the flanks.
Once we get to that final quarter, it's over. Yeah.
But how many crosses have you seen come through and there's either nobody making the run or the run's late? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like
against Kansas City, we had it happen twice.
Well, and I mean against Colorado last week. I mean,
I'll give them a pass in the KC game because
they're playing much better players. Yeah,
but against Harrisburg, against Pittsburgh, against Colorado against Toronto 2. I mean,
there were lots of balls last Friday that just flew through the box and there was nobody there.
You know, and I'll use the Harrisburg game as an example. It took us to going 1-0 down before we pulled our fingers out and got to grips with it. And once we got Sam's goal back, I thought we were going to go on and win it. We seem to wait for them to score and then get a rocket from Dale at halftime and then go again.
I would love to get a lead and keep it and maintain it and dominate a game from start to finish.
We've not had a solid 90 minutes where we've just controlled it.
Yeah, and that's with all these draws. A lot of times it's like us scrambling to get that equalizer.
The 70 minute on kind of thing.
And then once you've kind of done that, you kind of like sigh and are happy with that equalizer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've turned a lot of draws into victories. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
We turned a lot of losses into draws, but
right.
Not enough.
But mentally, it's almost like, woo! Right. We kind of celebrate with the draw,
yeah. Yeah.
And we should be like, wait a minute, that's not good enough. You know, we've done this, we did it four games in a row.
Starting in the hole is not the way to go.
And we all kind of left feeling, okay, well, we salvaged a point. You should never think that way at home. You know, you should.
Totally
we dropped 2 points.
Well, and Louisville being a prime example. You know,
yeah.
I wasn't there, but, you know, that's a game that we should have had.
And that was, like I said, that was a weird one because it was
the
rain delay and all that. But
Toronto 2, Harrisburg, and Colorado, and Pittsburgh, I think we're better teams than.
I counted on winning those games.
And
we've got
at nothing. Least we should have won at least two of them, if not all four.
And
draws just aren't going to cut it.
And that's what I'm saying. Maybe my estimation was too high. I mean, we are an expansion team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's rightfully where we're at.
And
I'm
don't
more
get me
worried
wrong.
About Charlotte. I'm more worried about Colorado Springs, the other expansion teams. You know, teams that have been around for a while. Not much we can do, but the other expansion teams, I wanted to be better than them.
After Wilmington, when we won, I was really upbeat. I was really okay. You know, we just beat Oklahoma City, we beat Wilmington. This we're doing okay.
Toronto too, I thought we'd walk over.
To be fair, we came out ready to.
Well, we were gifted. It was a gift. I mean, their goals were gifts.
But I mean, from that moment on.
But from when Brian Gall scores that goal after 30 seconds, you go beat them.
Right.
Finish them.
And
know?
We didn't. Yes. We took our foot off the gas and let them back into the game and let them win it.
And
that's going to get you every single time.
And we've seen that this team can play. I mean, my goodness, we've seen that they can play. But I want them to do it for 90 minutes.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing. I mean
Minnesota. I mean, I wasn't at the Minnesota game, but they played really well. I was listening to it on the radio, and Bob was saying, this is the best this team has played.
But, you know, at the same time, we did have the Minnesota win and the Des Moines win mixed in there, which kind of – those were elated nights where we had a victory. But both of those went to extra time.
Yeah.
Those were both technically draws.
Yeah.
Like, if that would have – those would have been league games, that would have been two more draws.
Yep.
So, I mean, again, it's not like we convincingly won those games. We got lucky, and we beat the one in extra time and the one in penalty shootouts. I mean – so that's a lot of draws. That's the thing. I mean, we got to score goals, period. That's the bottom one.
It will be interesting now that the fixture pileup's gone. It'll be interesting to see what Dale can do with this team. Now he's got them for a solid week of no traveling, playing together. Let's see what we can do.
Yep.
But It's hard. It's really hard to criticize because A, I know these guys. I know Dale. I know Jeremy. We're not telling them anything they don't know right now.
Oh yeah, and they're more disappointed than the fans are. Trust me. I mean, Jeremy's not a happy camper when we lose to Colorado or when we get another draw.
Yeah, there weren't even the normal post day after texts from Jeremy this weekend.
No, he was.
That tells me he's livid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's right to be livid. I mean, on Friday night, we had no urgency. We weren't pressing. I mean, they scored from a 25-yard shot that the guy had enough time to make a cup of tea and drink it. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't close him down. They gave him all day to shoot, and he scored, and that made the difference. That's what cost us points.
Okay, so now the question is it really the chemistry or is it the talent? You know, are these guys maybe not the talent that need to be there? And I'm not taking, and I'm not, again, I'm trying not to criticize
again,
our boys.
I think overall, I think the team is good.
I think so.
The defense is there. The buildup is there. You know, like I said, it's just we're not getting the goals. And maybe if we'd have won 4 weeks ago, it would have spun into four wins instead of four draws.
If we'd, walking away from the Wilmington game, we were all elated because it was our first home win. But the manner in which we won, I mean, Fink bobbled that goal over the line. I mean, we didn't thump Wilmington 4-0 like Louisville did. And, you know, we didn't play great against Wilmington, but we got the points. I mean, if we'd have maybe hammered Wilmington 4-0, that would have gave us a bit of momentum and a bit of a spark to go on. But
And I'm still hoping that's there. I'm still hoping we have a breakout game. I'm still hoping we have a...
We have to have that hammer.
Everybody finds their scoring boots at once, and then we take off.
Well, if we go up early, 3-0 in half an hour on a team, it gives our boys an hour to play without pressure, without fear, to try something new.
Well, and we have been forcing it. We have
because
we've been forced to, you know, find a goal. So I mean, that does take you out of your rhythm a bit. And as the game goes on and you're running out of time, you know what I mean? It's not your natural what you want to do.
But it also goes back to what I was saying that, you know, everyone that's screaming for MLS in St. Louis, they need to appreciate this league. I mean, this league is no joke. I mean, there's no easy games. Yep. No easy games. And any day, any team can beat another. I mean, but I don't think we're a ninth place team in this league. But they have to prove to me that they're not. Yeah. And because until then, we are a ninth place team.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about off the field real quick. I do want to mention the attendance numbers came out for Coach Bobby's blog. I don't know who Coach Bobby is, and I don't know much about his blog. But every once in a while, he does an attendance analysis. And St. Louis FC is fifth overall in the league in attendance, which is pretty damn good.
Take it in a heartbeat.
For a team with only one win at home in the league to still be cracking on at 80-85% capacity, I don't think that's bad.
1-3-3 and doing that well, take it every day.
We're third in the East. The teams ahead of us are obviously Sacramento Republic in the West. They sell.
You pretty much just have to remove them from the equation.
Yeah, they don't even count. In the East, we've got Louisville City FC is doing really well. Rochester. And then us, Tulsa's the other team in the West that's doing better than us. They're a little bit ahead of us, but, I mean, we're doing well attendance-wise. So any doubts about St. Louis being able to support a team in this league are ridiculous. We're crushing that aspect of it.
Yeah, we're doing all right. No issues there.
So, again, off the field, I think this team's killing it.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, so. They're doing everything right. Everything right. I mean,
I would like to see one improvement, and this is just me.
Okay,
they need to have the fan store be more available.
I would agree, or get the stuff out to Soccer Master.
It's either or. It's when the new jerseys came out last week. There was very little opportunity to get them unless you bought it day of game. And I know other.
And frankly, you know how I found out about the new jerseys? Nancy, who works in the team store, tweeted it out. It didn't come from St. Louis FC. It, you know, she just works there and knows Luligans are wanting that jersey, and she took a picture and tweeted it out to us.
See,
I mean, that's, you know.
That's not good enough.
I mean, it's good on their employee, but that's the team should have said, hey.
And there, I did some research that day, and there's four teams in the league that list having store hours. Every one of them. Considerably more hours than ours. Sacramento has more hours open by the end of Tuesday than we do all week long.
And there's pretty much somebody out at the park all day.
You know, and you know, have a economically feasible, you know, person volunteer to do that, to have some of their club fees reduced, or, you know.
Or even just, I mean, put a little note on the door, hey, you know, we're in the main office, come get us, and we'll, yep, and we'll open it for you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I get you maybe not be able to afford somebody to sit there all day just in case somebody wants to buy a shirt, but there's somebody at the park at all times who should be able to open that door and sell you a shirt.
Yeah, and again, you know, there was a whole bunch of games going on that night that I went up there. I believe it was Thursday night.
Well, yeah, anytime there's a Gallagher tournament or something going on.
Even a practices or anything,
yeah,
like that.
Those stores should be open.
It has to be open.
For parents to come in and buy a shirt, or
you know, the Friday, granted this week was different, but it's closed all day on Friday.
Yeah.
Friday is payday for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Friday is the day before a game. People can come out, buy a ticket, but you know, there just has to be more opportunity. It's free advertising that you're just giving up.
More stuff, more fat guy stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, no wonder they don't have fat guy stuff. They're not open enough to sell it.
Well,
I mean.
All right. But other than that, they're doing a good job off the field.
Absolutely. Love you, Jeremy.
I love the white shirt. I would love to buy it.
I would, too. It's a shame.
It's in the store, but it's not online, so you can't even buy it online.
And they get such great merchandise in.
The online store has always been iffy. You know, they don't have everything in stock online, or, you know, some of the things that I like that I just can't get to Fenton in the middle of the day.
I can't either, and I work from home.
So, I'll go online to look to see what's on, and it's the same stuff that's been on there forever, you know, and I know they've got different T-shirts and different,
and
you know.
My son pointed out the other day that I pretty much only have Luligan and STLFC shirts.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm obviously willing to buy more.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are.
Yeah. And it's a shame because it's not up to par with the rest of the game day efforts and presentations.
My experience was that I have to be on the air at 6 o'clock. So around 5:40, I go in and I see Jim, and you know, and then I said to Jim, "I'll be back in a minute. I'm going to go check the team store out." Team store's closed on a game day at 5:45, and I knock on the window and they're like, "We're closed," and I'm like, I want to give you money. Open the door.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. I mean, seriously, this is a.
It is the one thing. It's the one thing.
And it's not hard. And again, you know, if a family is struggling, have the mom volunteer, and cut their rates to let their kid play for cheaper or something. There's plenty of ways to staff
game day when you're waiting before the game.
And the gates are open.
Should be open.
The gates are open. Gates are open at 5:30.
It was 4:06.
Yeah. Well,
go on. Oh, hey. Penalty and a red card.
Bird's yelling at the women's game.
Card's coming out.
It's a red.
There you go.
There it is.
Had to be.
Yep. We had no choice.
Okay, let's get to questions. Let's get to questions real quick. Eric Bonita wanted to know league roundup. We kind of went over it.
Yeah.
The teams that are ahead of us. I don't pay much attention in the West, to be honest.
The West is a lot closer. I mean,
but again, if we were in the West, I think we'd be in second to last because the teams in the West seem to be a lot better, top to bottom.
I don't think so. Honest to God, I don't think so.
Well,
I think
they're wrong, but that's okay. No, I'm just giving shit.
I don't
watch a lot of the West.
This is a tough league. I don't care what anybody says. It's a tough league. There's no pushovers.
You know what? We've beaten Tulsa. We've beaten Oklahoma City. Tulsa and Oklahoma City beat Seattle Sounders at home and away.
Yeah.
And Seattle Sounders were top of the West for a while.
Maybe there's more parity in the West.
I think very much so. There's a guy that plays for Orange City Blues called Denzel Slager. He will be in the MLS next year. I've got a little man crush on him. He is tremendous. But I've watched a bit of the West. It's okay.
But a lot of us are bunched up in the East too. I mean, that whole section. I mean, there's like 4 or 5 points that separate. You know.
I think a lot of teams in the East went off to great starts. Richmond, Charleston went off to great starts, and they've kind of faltered a bit, and it kind of bunched it all up. I mean, Rochester are flying.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Malia wants to know injury reports. you know, they're kind of cagey with the information they give us.
It's like the NHL.
Yeah.
Upper body.
I mean, Hardware's working his way back. You know, he'll get some minutes and then not. I don't know.
Well, no, broke his finger.
He got stomped on in what game was it? The
Harrisburg
game.
Barklage seems to be coming back and doing okay. His knee puffed up after Kansas City, which is why he didn't play Friday, but it's not a foot injury, so we'll wait for the... I guess they're going to wait for the swelling to go down. It'll be fine. Moose is not in an air boot anymore.
He got stomped on in the foot. Is that...
I was training, yeah. Or he stubbed his toes real bad.
But it wasn't broken, I don't think. Or maybe it is a little bit. I don't know.
Well, if it was, they lied to me.
Okay. So,
which, you know what? You know what?
Well,
They're hiding that information.
And that's perfectly fine.
It was good to see Bibbs back. Last week.
Yeah, I like Nick a lot.
I think they pulled him after the half just to give him a slow, warm up. But I think he had a great first half.
And Abby just missed.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Wow.
Tim Reeder wanted to know about a W League team. I haven't heard any rumors of a W League team coming.
No.
I would say support Fire and Ice is the best way to show the powers that be, we want a W League team.
But there is, no one will probably listen to it in time, but there is a reserved team game, I believe, at 11 a.m. tomorrow. So if you want to see any of the squad players play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're a stay-at-home dad with nothing to do, you might want to go out
there.
Well,
and you might see some of these guys who are working out injuries. So there you go. Please, if you're off work tomorrow or you work late.
They do have an under-20s team as well that seems to be doing okay. I don't know much about them. The team tweets about that every once in a while, but they just won 3-0, I believe, out in maybe Illinois. So, but apart from a W team, no idea. But there are a pyramid under the first team that you can go watch.
Yeah. Greg Halvix wanted to know about stadium improvements and scoreboard. Yes, there is going to be a scoreboard on the opposite side, so we can actually see a time and everything. But they are planning on building out that end.
Are they actually planning it?
Well, I mean, it probably won't happen this season. They'll probably look at it after the season to see if they need it. But that is the reason they didn't put up the new scoreboard is they're waiting to evaluate if they're going to cap in that back, because if they do that,
they don't want to put a scoreboard up and then have to move it.
Right. So yes, there will be a scoreboard for us, but it probably won't be until next season. So for now, we're going to have to rely on our capos and people going to get beers to sneak up there, peek around, take a look at the clock, and yell it up to us.
Community effort.
Yeah. Which is not ideal, but it is what it is. Claude had a good question about the growth of the group. Are you guys surprised with how quickly we've grown? Did you expect it to go this quickly? Or is it not as big as you thought it would be by now?
Yes. it's funny because there are some days, you know, I honestly knew we would get to this point. I think some days I think that we're ahead of that. Some days I think we're behind it. But I think a lot of it depends on watching the attendance as a whole. That, you know, there was a couple games in there that attendance had dropped down a little bit. And it wasn't anything in particular. It's just the nature of the beast. And I kind of expected the attendance to stay up a little bit more, which would have reflected in us being up a little bit sooner. But now that we're at this point, perfect.
Our corners are always full.
I'm really happy with where we're at. I'm ecstatic at how many women there are there. There's a lot of women. It's not a sausage fest anymore. And I think that's only...
Our demographics have definitely broadened. We've got younger family members.
We've got older. I'm seeing
we've
some
gone both ways.
Yeah.
Some
I mean,
people
as,
my parents' age.
As we've expanded, we're reflecting society more, I think.
Right.
Yes.
And we've got more families in our section than I thought we would have.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean that bring their kids and that are happy with their kids being there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's been a nice surprise to me.
The one thing I think I kind of, I can't say I expected it, but I hate expecting it, is that there's still a few that need to adjust to the group as a whole, and I think it's just the learning experience of being around.
United States just scored.
Woohoo!
I kind of call it tourists. We've got some tourists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who may have come to a game and sat somewhere else and now have seen, oh, they're having fun, I want to go over there. It was really apparent last game. We had some people in the middle who were taking selfies and talking and wanted to be a part of it and
but not be part of it.
But yeah, they're not.
But not be engaged.
They're not being a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be there. But trust me, guys, it's better when you're singing and chanting. And I'm not expecting you to know all the words, but a lot of the chants are pretty simple. You can, you know, pick it up.
Don't be talking about Verlander's ERA in front of me and your fantasy baseball team.
Well, and I mean, apparently there was some chick painting her nails. If I'd have seen that, I'd have gone off. Because, but
the thing is, I don't mind if you want to be, I don't mind if you want to be around and do that kind of thing. Due right. to the outside
yeah.
of the group, not in the middle.
But I'll say before this season started, we had what I would call 50 regulars and 100
tourists.
No, or 50 regulars,
fringe members,
and 100
secondaries,
and another 50 who would come to half the games yeah. or once in a while. Now we're kind of up to like 200 people that I can pretty much count on to be there every game, mm-hmm. and then we've got another 100 that come and go,
yeah.
and some of them are new, and some of them will never come back. But some of those people who were fringe are now starting to become. They've bought partial season tickets, or they're talking about next year buying season tickets. So it's growing. I think it's growing well. We need people to buy in a little more to be a part of it, because trust me, the more you give, the better it gets. Don't just be there to watch people sing. Be there to sing.
Yeah.
Little things like when we chant more beer, that means our drummers are out of beer. It's not just a chant that we want more beer, which we always do. So when you start hearing more beer, more beer, more beer, more beer, get out a dollar and hold it up. Somebody will be coming around to pick up that dollar to buy beer for our drummers.
While we're recording this, Amanda Malischek posted a thank you to those that help. That I know she's been taking care yeah. of it when she's there.
And for the Capos to get waters, because
they usually have a bucket down there, but not always. And that's the thing. If you're going over that way and they're looking like they're in need, ask them.
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask them.
So, yeah, joining in on chance and giving a dollar for when they do more beer are probably the two biggest things you need to know in our corner.
And make some goddamn noise.
Yeah, make noise, please. And I say this a lot. A lot of people show up on Saturday or game day, wherever, if it's Friday or Sunday or whatever. They think it just happens by magic. There's a lot of hard work that goes into this. The tailgating crew with yep. Mark and Eric and
Marcus.
Sarah and Marcus and all those guys, please donate, because yeah. you know they've bought and they've put in a lot of work throughout the week to get that ready. The drummers, they do not stop drumming. Their arms are liquid by the end of the night.
Blisters.
That's why
we have to wear gloves now.
That's why we buy them beers. They earn it. Putting up flags and banners, you know, some people have bitched when we put up a TIFO that they had to stand under the TIFO for 30 seconds. Get over yourself. This is what we do.
Drummer Dave always says, keep the flags waving.
Right.
And he's right. And he is totally
right.
He
is completely. Seeing the video of Tuesday in Kansas City, he could not be more right.
If
so
you're tired, hand it to somebody else
and wave it. Just be aware when you're waving it not to smack somebody with it, but keep it going. It makes a difference.
If you're going to sit there and have a conversation, move over to Section 9. Let the people who want to sing, who want to chant, stand in the middle. It's you know, we want everybody to be a part of it, but you've got to be a part of it.
And for God's sakes, don't throw your beer intentionally when we score.
Yeah. If on accident, sure. I get that.
I am all for joyous eruptions.
And don't fight our capos. Every week it seems some newbie comes to the stand and wants to be clever and make up a chant. God love you. We've got something going on. We've got a plan. If you have an idea for a chant,
tell us.
Grab one of the capos at halftime or when they're taking a break.
Or one of them is walking up the stands.
Right. You know, mention it to them. They'll help if it's good, but there's a reason those people are standing in front directing the mood, directing the traffic, and be a part of it. Work with them. Don't work against them.
I have something that I noticed at the beginning of the year when we started doing this, is that when after the first home game, you had a TIFO made, and we unraveled it, and everyone saw it, and there was a comment made by a Sacramento fan on Twitter saying, oh, look, oh, St. Louis FC, the front office have given the fans a TIFO. You know,
they thought it was professionally printed.
You know, on North American Soccer Facebook page, a couple of other teams' fans were giving us grief for what we're doing. And I think it wasn't because they were jealous, but for a while we were the darlings of USL, all the Luligans, or all the Coopers. The new guys coming in, we're mixing it up and getting recognition. And some of the old guard, like the Indy 11 or in NASL or the Sacramento guys, the Tower Bridge, they weren't being talked about anymore. And I think what I'm going to say is that next year, if Cincy come in, or if God love Detroit came in, you know, they would be the flavor of the month for that season. I'm gonna plea to our guys, encourage it. Don't be jealous of it.
It's good for the entire league.
Yeah.
And for the most part, we do have good relationships with the other supporters groups. Mm-hmm. You know, most of them are very complimentary to what we're doing.
Oh, it's just a couple of tools. It goes back to the whole 1%.
Exactly. And we have to, like, that's what I always say about the Coopers. You guys can give the Coopers as much shit as you want, but we need them, you know, to be good, to help us be good.
Yeah.
We are very much the flavor of the month, us and the Coopers, because we're doing things right. But
it's not by accident.
But also, again, as I say, next year we'll be old hat and there'll be a new breed coming in, and they'll be the flavor of the month. And I don't want us to be mudslinging at them while they're trying to do their things either.
But as you're wanting to work say, on us, yeah. A rising tide lifts all ships.
Absolutely.
So yeah, just keep. I mean, that's our goal. Just keep being good. Keep doing the best we can. And with that, Claude, I think the growth will continue. And he also wanted to know, how do we maintain that sense of family?
Doing what we do. I mean,
yeah, I think just
having more nights like Tuesday.
That too.
And goes back to the goal thing. You know, a winning will solve a lot of ills. I mean, we start scoring some goals that, God love, we need, and you start hugging people next to you.
Yeah. I like to think we're doing a good job of welcoming the new people in and not mm-hmm. playing this, I'm an original Luligan, you know. I mean, when somebody asks me who the hell am I don't go off. I just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, I'm just the guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a good case in point because I'll mention Mark Register. He comes to every tailgate, mm-hmm. but I didn't really know his name until last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will take a while for us to get to know you, but we will.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, there's people that are brand new this season who I already consider, you know, like,
well, Claude.
Full on, yeah,
Claude's a great example. I love him and his wife Michelle. They're there at everything. They always bring something.
They volunteer.
They volunteer.
For, you know, when we need help doing something,
they're in the middle of something every time. And you know, how do we keep growing? We need people like them.
Correct.
And you know, this sounds kind of cheesy for a moment, but if Brad and I weren't friendly to you, you're not friendly to somebody else who's not friendly to Claude and Michelle. You know it. It keeps going. It really is a paying it forward kind of thing where, you know, we don't do anything rule wise because we don't need to, because we take care of our own business every time.
Yeah, I mean, we are a very loose knit organization. We don't have bylaws. We don't have elections. We don't have
charter.
Yeah, we don't have, you know, Gold Star members. You know, we don't even pay membership dues. So really the only way you can be a part of the family is if you show up and you're there consistently and, you know, you say hi to me at every tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually I'm going to know who you are, participating on Facebook and Twitter and things like that, where eventually you're just a part of the fabric.
Yeah.
And it's like you've been there all along. And, you know, it's like 2 years from now, you're going to say, hey, when did Claude join with the Luligans? And I'm going to be, I don't know, like the third year of the Lions? I mean, you know, because you don't know. You don't know. All I know is he's been around for as long as I can remember, and he's one of the guys I'll call. Mm-hmm. Or his wife's one of the people I'll call when I need something. You know what I mean? So there it is, Claude. How do we maintain the family vibe? We maintain it by people making themselves part of the family. So
do what we do.
That's what I'd say. Anything else, guys?
That's all your questions?
That's all my questions. I mean, we there were some others, but we more or less answered them throughout the course of the show. I mean, everybody wants to know where the goals are coming from. When are they coming?
They're coming Saturday.
They're coming Saturday.
Thick and fast.
Yes. You know, that's,
I hope.
That, I mean, but to me, that's the, on the field, that's the one point that if I could change anything, it would be we'd have goals aplenty, because I think defensively we're just fine. I think the midfield holds its own fairly well.
It's done okay for the injuries we've had. I'm glad that Rankin's coming back. I'm glad that Barklage is coming back. I can't believe Jamil broke his finger the first game he was back, but hopefully he'll play
Tape
Saturday.
That shit up. You don't need a hand.
Yeah, I was going to say, at least it's a finger and not a knee or a foot.
You're a professional player. You don't need to hold a red stripe.
Put on a mitten. Let's do this.
Kitten mittens?
Kitten mittens. The mittens of disapproval.
I'd really like to pick our strongest possible squad for team for Saturday.
Yeah, it will be nice. Like you said, no more fixture congestion. No more, okay, I got to play him because I need him on Wednesday, or I can't play him because I gave him, you know, 75 minutes on Saturday. So let's get everything rolling and get some goals and change this draw pattern.
I'm all for it. W's fix everything.
So again, this was a long podcast. We had a lot to talk about. I don't know how long it is, Mitch.
About an hour 30.
So yeah, that's really long. We're sorry about that. But the July the 7th, we will be recording live, not broadcasting live, but recording live from the trivia game. So whenever that information comes out, please sign up for a table. And we'll see you out there.
It's going to be a good time. There's lots of good events coming up. Make sure you stay tuned into everything, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Come to a game. Invite a friend.
We're killing it on Instagram. Thanks to Sarah and Eric with that. They're staying on top of it. They've got a hive mind going.
That was something I just didn't have the energy to do, and they've picked it up and ran with it. So I'm so happy that they're doing that.
Yeah. So we as a group are firing on all cylinders. Let's keep that engine running and get the boys a W this weekend.
Anything else, Bird?
I just want wins.
Just want wins. That's all we want.
Just win, baby.
In the words of Al Davis, just win, baby.
See ya.
Au revoir.